Right now, we welcome in District 42 Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson joining us here on KODY's Mugs of the Morning for our weekly legislative update. Good morning, Senator Jacobson. Good to see you as always.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Now, Senator Jacobson, before we talk about the latest going on with the legislative session that wrapped up a couple weeks ago, some unfortunate news to discuss with the passing of your colleague last week, Senator Pauls.
Yes, I knew Rich Pauls back when he served in the legislature before. And he had ran for re-election and was defeated at the last go-around, and that individual now is leaving the legislature, and so left the legislature, and so he ran and was re-elected. And Rich is really was really a good guy. He actually chaired the banking committee at one point in time. Really a good individual. We needed him. We needed him for a couple of key votes in the final stretch. My understanding was that he had a detached retina and was out for the last about 2.5 to 3 weeks of the legislature, and he never did get back. And then we had heard some rumors that he might have cancer and may have discovered cancer, and we think that's what happened. And so, yeah, it's unfortunate. He went pretty quickly, and good guy, good individual. Going to miss him.
Just days before he was out of the legislative session due to the illness or the detached retina, he was on the legislative floor, passionate and as on top of the game as ever, I would say.
That's exactly right, Jan. And he would have been the deciding vote. He would have brought us the vote that we needed, the key vote that we needed on LB 773. Mm-hmm. So we really missed having him there and also on 933. Those two key pieces of legislation failed by two votes, and his was the vote that would have gotten the last person to go yes, and so it would have been a trigger. Yeah, you had one other individual who didn't want to be the 33rd vote for cloture, so she voted no because we didn't have the 32nd vote, and so kind of unfortunate, but a good, very good individual, really hated to see that happen, but a good guy.
Now, will Governor Ricketts, do you know he'll have to do an appointment for this seat?
I'm guessing, again, that'll be a special election probably, but I think it'll be an appointment, and then they'll have to do, I think, a special election possibly. So okay. I'm not quite sure how that process worked, but I think he can appoint a replacement because there's still an outside chance that we could have a special session. Right now, obviously, on LB 933, which was the heartbeat bill, that was really a trigger bill, which meant that that bill would go into effect in Nebraska should the Supreme Court rule in June that Roe versus Wade would be unconstitutional, and then that would push it back to the states.
Lord willing.
Yeah, so what happened then is because this bill didn't pass, and so we don't have something to go into place, there's been a lot of talk that in the event that the Supreme Court would rule in June and would reverse Roe v. Wade, that then there could be a special session just to deal with the abortion laws in Nebraska. Right now, abortion is legal up to 20 weeks gestation, and it's illegal after that. And so, obviously, there's a lot of us that believe that, you know, Julie and I lost a young son. He was 24 weeks, and so it's pretty close and personal to me that I know where he would have been at 20 weeks, and I can't imagine that being all right to kill that child. So I think that's something that we're going to could possibly be revisited. Not necessarily. There's no guarantee it'll be a special session, but there is some likelihood that could happen.
Continue to pray for it, at least.
Exactly. Yes.
Now, but Senator Paul, was his term? Was he term limited at the end of this session, or did he still have one?
No, actually, I think, in fact, thinking about that, he was elected, I think, 2 years ago. So he was just beginning again.
Okay. Mm.
Yes. And so he was one who had returned, who had been there before.
So that's why they would have to do the special session.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Senator Jacobson, also want to bring up that our Nebraska state senators, although there's not a legislative session currently, continuing to work. I mean, the work still continues. The Capitol's still open. Legislative offices are still open. A little quieter at the Capitol, but work's still going on.
Yes, it is. So all of these senators that were term limited out, their term actually ends on January 3rd. So everybody's fully on the job, and so the new terms would begin January 4th of 2023. So everybody's still very engaged. I know in my case, I've been spending a lot of time traveling the district now, meeting one-on-one and having meet and greets with people, really trying to understand their issues. Most of my time's been spent outside of North Platte. I was up in Tryon this past week, met with the superintendent of schools up there and a couple of their school board members to really better understand the issues they're dealing with. Most people maybe don't realize this, but McPherson County Schools is the smallest school district in the nation. They have 58 students. They're in a county of 400 residents. So if you look at that and you look at anybody that's familiar, of course, with our part of the country, you've got a lot of kids that live on ranches, and mm-hmm. so you're out in the hills.
Yeah. A little commuting.
And there's a little commuting involved now. And so when you start trying to understand their particular problems, one of the things I've talked a lot about is how do we get our fair share out here? And you think about this, this is a small school district. It'd be very, very difficult for these kids to be transported somewhere else. Yet at the same time, we don't have quality broadband sufficient to where they can really do it from home.
Their schoolwork.
Any virtual learning and schoolwork at home.
Exactly, because a good example is that their high school, they've got two buildings there. They've got the high school building, an older building, and they've got a modular where the elementary's at. Well, they, in order to connect the two, they have fiber to the high school, but they don't have it to the elementary building, so they use that. They run that wirelessly. So if you have bad weather, just like this morning, I don't know about you guys, but my internet was down here, you get bad weather, well, the only way you can stay connected is to run fiber. Mm-hmm. Well, they can't afford to run the fiber to the elementary school, so they've had kids that have been in the middle of an exam, and then they lose their internet. And so if you think about it, you can say, well, guy, why don't they just consolidate? Well, that's an easy thing to say,
some years ago, that was a big push to consolidate things, and I never liked that because you just can't keep the same continuity with that.
It should be an extreme last resort, I would say.
Yeah. Well, and the problem you run into is you don't necessarily have a huge amount of cost savings, and at the end of the day, you know, you're also looking for ways to lower property taxes, and mm-hmm. so how can we do that? And so are there significant cost savings? Or put another way, I'm back again to this idea that Omaha and Lincoln gets all this money in TEOSA formula, and I ask, okay, what's their TEOSA number in from the state? They get $5,000 a year, okay, $5,000 a year in state aid.
Per student?
Total.
Total?
For the school. $5,000 for the school, the entire school. Mm. And again, why is that? It's the way the TEOSA formula works.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The number of resources that are there. Okay, where does their tax base come from? 94% of their tax base is ag land.
Right.
So the problem is that if we're going to deal, part of dealing with these property taxes is we've got to make sure that we're getting our fair share of the state aid that's coming to support our public schools. And I think that's as big a problem as anything. And it's not going to be limited to McPherson County.
No.
Okay, I can go on across. I can go to Stapleton. I can go up to Thedford. I can go to Mullen.
And you've got same issues. And this would extend outside the district, too, I would say, in a number of ways.
Oh, sure it does. Sure, it does.
In everything, in every facet, the legislature doesn't seem to think there's anything west of York.
That's where the world drops off.
Right.
Yeah.
And all the money tends to stay there.
I gave a lot of geography lessons on the floor this year.
Good. Good.
A lot of them.
Okay.
It truly is amazing. I mean, we joke about it, but truly people don't get it.
It's accurate, yeah, unfortunately. I wish it was just a joke, but...
I've given the example many times that, for those of you, just so you understand, I can leave the Capitol and drive to North Platte, and I can get there in 3 hours. But if I want to go on to Gehring, I just keep driving another 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, do you want to tell me, where? Do you think North Platte's western Nebraska, or where is North Platte? I like to think of it as west central.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it is.
It is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if we think we've got a bad District 42, look at how bad it is for Senator Stenner, Senator Erdman, way out west.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I get into some of this conversation when we're talking about cell phone service, which relates to the computers and everything else. But I tell people that from... Omaha to Kearney is digital. from Kearney about to Lexington is analog, and out here it's smoke signals for our, our internet and stuff.
I've used that example a lot, and you start looking at broadband, okay? Broadband really is very similar to back in the day when we were first getting electricity and the Rural Electrification Act. If you think about it, when we got electricity to begin with, where was the electricity? It was all in the big cities. And then it went to smaller cities. And then ultimately, it took legislation and subsidy to be able to get it out into the farms and ranches so that we had electricity in the farms and ranches. Broadband is doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. I did co-sponsor a broadband mapping bill that was brought by Senator Friesen. And the importance of that bill was to really be able to identify. You've got a number of broadband carriers who have gone out and staked their claims to certain areas. So what they've done is they've run conduit, maybe fiber, but in many cases they just ran the conduit, didn't even run the fiber. And that's pretty much they've laid their claim to this area. So everybody else has to stay away. Then they don't come back in and fill in the fiber and actually provide service. So this bill was really designed to go out and identify where is their quality speeds and broadband being delivered. And if it's not there, then we're going to open that up to other providers to come in and provide that service. There's another bill that was a funding bill that would fund a bigger part of a cost sharing. In many cases, there would be up to 75% of the cost of putting in the infrastructure would be paid from this funding source to further encourage providers to get in there and get the broadband put down, put it in place, allow these rural areas to get better connected. A big part of what's going on right now is we're finding that there are a lot of people wanting to leave the big cities. They want to raise their children in smaller communities in the Midwest. I see this at the bank. We see a number of people buying homes in North Platte that are moving here from California. They're moving here from Colorado. They're moving here from other large cities. And what they're doing is they're keeping their jobs in those old, in those other cities, and they're working remotely. But if you're going to do that, if you want to do that, though, what do you need? You need broadband. Okay? And so if we want people to move in, particularly if you think about it, if you want somebody to come in and move into smaller communities in the district, we need to get them broadband. We need to have quality broadband access that's reliable so that we can make more of this happen. We need to be able to have that so that they can have their own second jobs if they want them from their homes. Sure. We need it for precision agriculture. So broadband's critically important. I've been asked, what committees would I want to serve on if I'm back there next year? And one of them I've looked at is transportation and telecommunications. The reason I'm looking in that direction is transportation's also going to deal with the railroad. Mm-hmm. It would put me in a very, very good position to be able to make some changes to really help our railroad workers here. There are some serious issues that they're dealing with right now with work quality issues as much as anything as these trains have gotten longer. And so we're going to need to make some changes there. That's going to be dealt with in the Transportation Committee. But it's also the Telecommunications Committee, which is really dealing with the broadband. And so I just think that we've got to continue to have people from the 3rd Legislative District who can come in with a strong voice, understand what they're doing, and be able to help guide the committee and then ultimately the legislature to get things done for our part of the state.
And Senator Friesen has done a great job at championing this rural broadband cause, but he's term limited as well, and this is an issue that, we're making a dent in the problem, Senator Jacobson, but it's far from being resolved.
Well, and Senator Friesen and I are really good friends. Well, I knew Senator Friesen before I went down to the legislature. I've got some farms in Clay County, and he owns a farm about 2 miles south of me. And so we've been really good friends, and we sat next to each other in the legislature, and he's one who's encouraged me to give some thought to doing TNT because he would also be a resource for me. But there's a lot of pieces. The Public Service Commission has a lot to do with this. But the Public Service Commission ultimately reports up to the legislature. And so if we're not getting things done at the Public Service Commission, we can exert some influence on the legislative side. So I'm still looking at where can I best fit to be able to deliver for our legislative district and for our part of the state. because we've come up short so many times over the years. That's got to change. And so first and foremost, we got to look in that area. You know, a lot of people said, well, gosh, Mike, you're a banker. Obviously, you want to go on the banking committee. And it's like, you know, not really. You know, I can support the banking committee from the floor.
Once you've seen how sausage is made.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I want to be able to make a difference, and I want to make a difference for the district. And that was my whole purpose for being involved to begin with is, you know, we need to get our fair share. We just haven't. And it's gone year after year after year when people don't even know where we're located. Why do we think that they're going to deliver something of substance to our part of the state? So we've got to be able to work harder to be able to educate the rest of our senators, and we've got to be able to work collaboratively with them to make it happen.
And Senator Jacobson, there's a few of our term-limited senators that were committee chairs that are going to not be in the legislature anymore, obviously due to those term limits. Would you ever consider running for a committee chair if reelected?
Well, I've already been asked that question, and my immediate response was no, I would not accept a chairmanship next year, even as a redshirt freshman. And the reason for that is I've watched what's happened with people that have come in as a freshman and become a committee chair. Their effectiveness really isn't there because you've got some hard feelings from some more senior senators. If I look at Transportation Telecommunications, Suzanne Geist will likely be the chair next year.
The great Suzanne Geist.
Yes, and she has 2 years left. So to me, the bigger thing would be to maybe consider being the vice chair or being on the committee for 2 years and then taking over as a chair 2 years later. That gives you an opportunity to build respect, build rapport among the committee members, and be effective. To me, being in the legislature has nothing to do with ego. It has everything to do with getting something done. And I've learned over the years and all my years in business, if you want to be effective, you better be prepared to build teams, build rapport, build relationships, and then you can get a lot of good things done. And if you're going to be there just to fill your ego, you know, you're probably in the wrong place.
Yeah, I would say so. I was going to say, you know, there is a vacancy for the chair of the Appropriations Committee, so. Senator Stinner made it look so appealing in his final address to the legislature, too, saying, you know, he didn't know whether to thank or insult people for having him as the chair for that for a number of years.
There are two committees I didn't even want to be on. One of them is Appropriations, and the other one would be Judiciary.
I don't know which one's worse. It's 1A, 1B, that's for sure.
I think that's right. They've got a couple of good candidates to chair Appropriations, and so we'll kind of see where that goes. You know, I think the other committees that are out there, you know, General Affairs is a committee that I'm on right now that Senator Groney had served on. I'm also on Ag, and I'm also on Natural Resources. And so, you know, the General Affairs Committee, of course, was involved with the racetrack and the mm-hmm. casino issue. I wished I could have gotten there sooner. I really got there on the back end when most of the decisions had already been made. I was able to have some impact on being able to shorten the time frame for these studies to get done. I would mention, for what it's worth, there is going to be a meeting of the Racing and Gaming Commission on May 6th, which I believe is Friday, and that'll be down at the Cornhusker Hotel in Lincoln at their offices. I think the chamber is working to encourage people to either write letters or if they wanted to be there. They will be starting some of their rulemaking, but a big thing I think we want to focus on, what we did do in the bill in the legislature was we required that these studies be done no later than 2025. Mm-hmm. We would like to see them expedited, and so one of the things that we're really pushing on is to get these done quicker, and that's what we'd be encouraging people to focus them on doing, and then also remind them that North Platte would be a great location. Again, I think I've explained in the past kind of how this worked, that the initiative was basically set up and interpreted to only allow and fully authorize racing from the ballot box in the six existing racetrack locations. But I think there's strong feeling among the committee members and among my colleagues in the legislature that North Platte and likely Gehring, possibly Ogallala, would be three locations that would make sense out west. The beauty of North Platte is it would be right on the interstate.
Yep.
And you look at the cars that pass there every day. We could get a lot of out-of-state money that would stop here. People would stop here, probably be at the casino, stay overnight in the hotels. We believe that the hotel occupancy would skyrocket because there would be rooms that would be comped. Yeah. There would be people stopping here. When you're in the hotel business, you learn pretty quickly when you finance hotels over the years. They're busy time. They're full. They're usually at occupancy. Full, clear through the summer. The summer ends, and then they're sitting there maybe 20% full.
Right.
When you can have something like that, they could fill up.
Now, Senator Jacobson, we do need to wrap up here in a few moments, but want to remind the public as well that there's an opportunity Wednesday. Governor Ricketts will be here in town, and you and your role as CEO of Nebraska Land National Bank will be hosting him and kind of doing double duty as the current state senator as well.
I will. He had called, and the office had called and wanted to know he wanted to have a town hall meeting. I think the subject is really to talk through the conclusion of what got accomplished in the legislature this year. He wanted to come to North Platte, wanted a location. We'd offered him some solutions. I gave him three or four different options, and they said, gee, we'd really like to come to the bank and have it on the third floor. So it'll be on the banquet room on the north end of the third floor of the bank building. That's at 10 o'clock on Wednesday morning, so plan to come, and it should be fun.
Good opportunity, too, for a little Q&A with the governor to discuss anything going on, and a good face-to-face opportunity as well with Governor Ricketts.
Correct. That's exactly right. Yeah, if you have any questions for him or want to chat with him, you know, he's quite a guy, pretty busy. I'm glad that he's taking the time to come to North Platte.
And you yourself will be there as well as Nebraska State Senator representing District 42.
I will.
Senator Jacobson, if folks can't make it Wednesday but want to get in contact with you to discuss legislative issues, how can they do so, sir?
Well, there's a couple of ways they can get a hold of me. They can get a hold of me at, they can call me directly if they'd like. They can call my legislative office, 402-471-2729, or mjacobson@leg.ne.gov. And that would get you to my legislative office and for contact there. Also, if you want to call my office here at the bank, it's 534-2861. 534-2861. I'd be happy to talk to you at any time.
Senator Jacobson, thanks again for the time. Look forward to seeing you in the studio again next Monday, sir.
Thanks a lot, guys.